Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, hour two on a Friday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Chris Webber, Hall of Famer, just got elected in here. He'll be joining us in 5 minutes. Joy Taylor alongside. This weekend, all the big playoff stuff starts. So you got, you know, Boston, the Nets are starting, and Clippers and Dallas and Lakers and the Suns. And so this is a first weekend. By the way, the LeBron versus Steph, Lakers versus Warriors play-in game got at one point 6.1 or 6.2 million viewers, which is a massive number, which goes to something I've been pleading for years, which is make the first round of the NBA playoffs from the second round 3 games, at max 5 games. You force me to watch it, when you just a play-in game. And I mean, it's like the Warriors aren't even good this year. Got a huge number that beat all but about 6-7 college football games. It's like, hey, billionaires, you know, I know you got your zillion-dollar homes and all your properties. If you want us to watch your sport, just shave off all the useless games in the playoffs we don't need. We don't need – wasn't there at some point LeBron didn't even lose a first-round playoff game for like 7 years?
He's never lost a first-round series.
And for a while, it's like, okay – It's all that is, soak the fans. Like, just, and people freak out. Well, if you go 3 games, the stars could lose. Well, they don't in college basketball when you have 1 game. Better players win. You can go to a YMCA and look at the two teams and go, they got better players. They win. You ever get on one of those teams at the Y when you have good players and you play for like 2 hours because nobody can beat you? The better players win. They're going to win.
A series would be better. 3 or 5. Even 5 games would be better than 7 games.
Just 7 is just wasting our time. Very interesting. Andrew Berry is the new GM. I don't want to push this, but he was talking about Baker Mayfield. It's interesting the word he used. Let's play the bite.
You know, I'd like to say that it was a proactive statement, but it really just worked out that way. We obviously felt comfortable with Baker, have felt comfortable with Baker for a long period of time.
Comfortable? Somebody asked my wife, how's your marriage? Oh, I'm comfortable. Kind of sounds like it's cool for now. It's fine. I'm comfortable. Maybe I'm making too much of it, but comfortable is, yeah, we'll pick up his fifth year option. Now, it should be noted, Baker is 6-14 against winning teams. Winning teams are hard to beat. Nobody goes undefeated against winning teams. But he is 14-4 as a pro when he's been asked to throw it 30 or fewer times, and 10-18 when he's asked to throw it over 30 times. They're a better football team when he is reined in a little. But it is interesting to listen to the general managers in Baker's division talk about their quarterbacks. This is the Ravens general manager here.
Guy that's going to be here. We love him. He's really the face of this team right now in many different ways. He's the leader. He's a good player. And he's our quarterback. So we will work tirelessly to get a deal done.
Love him. Work tirelessly. What do you think about Baker? Eh, we're comfortable. Pick up his fifth year option. Am I reaching there?
Entirely.
Tirelessly. Love. Comfortable. I don't want to go anywhere, but it's people tell you what they think. They're just all right. Chris Webber, 15 years, just got into the Hall of Fame. He was a 5-time All NBA player, Rookie of the Year, back-to-back NCAA championship game appearances, and just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he is now joining us live. First of all, Chris, the Hall of Fame stuff. Let's just get to the Hall of Fame stuff because, you know, a lot of players, you don't want to talk about Hall of Fame when you're playing. You don't want to set yourself up. But when you're sitting there at the podium and you're a Hall of Famer, like, where did it take you back to? Your childhood? What did you think the minute you found out, Chris, you're in the Hall?
The minute I found out, I thought to tell my father. Because, you know, growing up, you know, I'm a mama's boy and a daddy's son. I just thought, you know, calling, tell my father, and just to share that with him just as a son was awesome. And then my mind went to the first couple of times you play, the first time you dunk, things like that. And then, you know, it goes through every step going to, you know, playing, you know, in college or playing in high school, winning championships, playing in college, getting to play with, you know, the great Michigan teams and the Fab Five there, going to Golden State and meeting Chris Mullin and living the dream, you know, playing for that team and, you know, the ups, the downs. And then finally, you know, Sacramento, in my mind, really, you know, being the place that just everything came together. And so, you know, it starts with, you know, your father and the one you started dreaming with and telling your dreams, then to friends, and then kind of just quiet moments to yourself, you know, just thinking, wow, I had a fun ride.
It's going to be a really interesting playoff because it's a condensed schedule. So last year's the bubble, and it was a very strange playoff where young teams, actually, for the first time in my life, were better than old teams. Usually veteran teams crush in the playoffs. And then this year you have a condensed schedule where you're asking veteran players to have basically no offseason, more injuries, more guys taking time off. I mean, Jimmy Butler barely played against the good teams in the East. So I the Milwaukee-Miami series, to me, I think to myself, well, the last 2 years when Jimmy Butler has played, Miami's won 65% of their games. They probably have a coaching advantage in this series. Can Miami beat Milwaukee? Is that our first big playoff upset, in your opinion?
Miami definitely can beat Milwaukee. We've seen, you know, kind of who Miami is all year. And then, you know, we see what the evolution once the playoffs start. But I think Milwaukee, you know, this year, Milwaukee's under the radar. And I think they're happy to be under the radar. You know, I don't think necessarily Giannis didn't want an MVP, but, you know, he has the kind of the target on everyone else's back now. And Milwaukee still is a really good team. And I think they'd rather be in the position of being the hunter than the hunted. So I do actually give Milwaukee the advantage in the playoffs this year over others because I think they can sneak up on teams as opposed to years past.
Let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. So last year I fell for it. I liked the Clippers. I liked their talent. I really did. I was all in. And it was funny because I had different people saying, dude. They have no chemistry. They're not good late in games. The playoffs are about late in games. And then you watch them unravel, and I'm like, man, I fell for it. And then I watch Brooklyn, no chemistry. I know they're talented, but you tell me. You haven't played a ton of games together. You're going to be facing teams that match up well with you. Philly in their size. Milwaukee in their size. Miami could be. Can you see this team getting into the playoffs and suddenly they face crisis and kind of unraveling a little bit?
So first of all, I fell for it as well with the Clippers. So I'm with you. I can't judge as well. But I wish I had kind of one of your examples or parables here. But I'm with them playing and winning because of a couple of things. How it came together. Like a lot of times, I don't think the chemistry is being together every day. I think chemistry is, how did you make the decision to come together? Like, what was the commitment? What was that moment, that defining moment when you all said, we're going to do this? Because to me, once you do that, you live on that commitment all year. And I think Harden, the way he's playing, I think we know he's the connector on this team. Kyrie having some of the best numbers he's ever had. And, you know, Durant playing the way that he has. You know, I believe in this team because of the individual decision of each individual, the decision-making of each individual to come together. And I just don't think that, you know, I think they each have so much to play for. Even when you look at Blake Griffin, I've always liked the teams of underdogs and everyone left out. Well, this isn't that group, but they've been kind of treated that way individually and they play with that mentality. And that's why more than anything, I think they can come out the East. I think they have just as much incentive as guys that have never won a championship, even though two of those guys do.
The other team that, C-Web, that interests me is the Clippers. So Steve Ballmer buys the team for $2 billion. He wants out of the Laker building. He spends $2 billion for a new arena. He goes out. They sign Kawhi Paul George. He's very well known. He's very enthusiastic. He's like a Mark Cuban first couple years in the league. He is fist pumping. And last year was kind of humiliating. And then this year, Chris, what's really interesting, there's all these ex-Clippers, Tobias Harris and Doc, and Philly could crush. Chris Paul, Phoenix could crush. Montrezl Harrell and the Lakers, same building, could crush. And I think to myself, man, this could, if they don't beat Dallas, this could get ugly. I mean, have you ever felt from the owner or the front office in your career, you felt the pressure in the building when you walked into a playoff series?
Yeah, you did. But truthfully, at the places that I had that maybe didn't have the history as others, you know, I would talk to KG like I wanted to feel the pressure of, you know, Bill Russell and Archibald at the game and all those banners. And so I think there are a couple of different type of pressures. You know, there's a different pressure to be a Patriot, you know, a New England Patriot than it may be to, you know, a Detroit Lions. So I think that kind of, you know, plays into it. But, you know, the one thing I say about sports is it's the most fair venue because it's unfair to everyone. And even though he's my Country Day alumni in high school and he's one of the most enthusiastic fans and people for the sport, you're still going to get your heart broken at times. And, yeah, they could lose in the first round to Dallas. Wouldn't Doncic have something to prove? We thought he was going to be the MVP. So for guys like that, I look at the incentive on the other side. Kawhi kind of hasn't totally bought in yet. Is he coming back? Is he not? The new arena. You're right. This is a new type of pressure and a pressure to start a legacy. So, you know, I'm sure the guys are feeling it. But I think more so than anything, they're feeling the embarrassment of last year. You know, Paul is feeling, you know, with guys kind of the disrespect, he's coming into that. Kawhi's kind of feeling left out because he came here to win a championship and no one's talking about him in that way anymore. So, you know, I think they're feeling a different type of pressure and we're going to see who they are come playoff time.
So I look at LeBron and the Lakers and LeBron saying I'm not 100% and AD can be a little brittle. Schroeder's been very hot and cold. So is Kuzma. You're not exactly sure what you get. And yet you go to the sports gaming places, they're all like, Lakers should win it. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just, it feels like it's they're so close to having another injury. When you look at the Lakers, do you go into this playoff with confidence or do you go in with trepidation?
I go in with trepidation. But I want to, like, if we go back, and it's all about LeBron's injury. That's the only thing I'm telling you, Colin, the worst injury I've had, and I've had microfracture, knee surgeries, and I've had more serious injury, but the one that could have the most impact while you're playing and allowed to play is a high ankle sprain, period. You can't move, you can't stop, you can't guard. And so I think that the Lakers' saving grace is their defense. I mean, if Drummond just does what he's supposed to, that's 16 rebounds and 12 points. Easy. And he can do much more than that on a nightly basis. We know what Davis can do. But, yeah, I go in with trepidation only because of health. But LeBron is just, I mean, he's one of the most incredible players we've ever seen. And I can't go against him, especially when he has other guys that are around him that play better when he's on the court and are more inspired. I still got to go with the Lakers.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny. It's part of LeBron's success, the last 8 or 9 times, Joy, that he's made the playoffs, he's made the finals. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to a friend about this the other day, and I said, some of this is not to take anything from LeBron's greatness, but it used to be that college basketball, guys like, you know, even Patrick Ewing and Duncan would play 3 and 4 years of college. So the league was older, and even rookies were like 23, physically bigger. The league now is young, and sometimes I feel like LeBron looks around these teams and he's like, these guys aren't emotionally, they can't compete with me. He's like this sage that's, you know, he's got the answers. Is some of LeBron's success, truthfully, right now, is that because now it's a G League, it's a one-and-done league, that the league is kind of watered down and with a bunch of young kids?
That's definitely part of it. I mean, you know, he understands the game. He was the only one embracing the bubble last year.
Right.
But I think he also embraces it because he was that young kid and everybody talked about him when he was at 18 and he understands more than anyone what that learning curve is. And so, yeah, I definitely think now, you know, when I came in, Colin, for 2 years in a row, I was the youngest player in the NBA at 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, the jokes and things like that. Now I can't imagine, you know, what the youngest age is. And so, yeah, it's a different day. And it's allowed him, along with taking care of his body, but he's so mentally strong that, you know, this, you know, I can definitely see him playing 3 or 4 more years. And hey, you know, it doesn't happen in football, but, you know, they're not necessarily younger, but we're seeing that with some quarterback play as well. And so I just think it's a new day, being able to take care of your body and your mind and saying, yeah, these young kids won't get it for a while, so I can sneak a few more great years out of this.
By the way, Chris, you know, teams like the Suns and the Knicks and the Jazz can have great regular seasons, but they're not favored in the playoffs. And I've tried to explain to fans is, you know, fans are always like, the referees favor the stars. And I always say, no, the stars know how to manipulate the refs. The stars are bigger, older, stronger players, and these playoff series get very, very physical. And it favors bigger, stronger, veteran players who can kind of manipulate the body, manipulate the ref. But that's my way of explaining it. When you were in the league, why does it feel like you know, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs, and everything sort of changes?
For everything you just said. And then also, players play harder. I mean, it's just that sense. You hold more, you grab more, there's more leeway with how you play. So, yeah, stars definitely know how to take advantage of it. The games are uglier. You know, players embrace that. They're, you know, if you're a great player, you understand not to take this three-pointer that you would during the regular season, to go and get the foul now because you're using the emotion of the crowd and this young player and his jumping ability and wanting to block your shot so bad. You're using all that against them. So really it's about understanding, you know, the moment. And I couldn't believe, one, how fast the NBA was when I first got into the NBA, thinking, you know, wow, this 24-second shot clock, this is real. This is 10 times faster than right. The game that I came from. And then you play in the playoffs and you go, wait a minute, it's even faster. And the crowd has you hype and you're experiencing adrenaline, you know, that you haven't experienced before coming from college to the NBA. So it's just a whole different experience. And that's why you see so many guys get out of sorts emotionally. It doesn't matter what they're doing on the court. They get so out of sorts emotionally, they just can't take it and tend to make mistakes.
Chris, you look great. I'm happy for you. Hall of Fame, congratulations. Continued success. You're always welcome anytime you want to be on. I love seeing you and chatting. You always make me think, bud. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. C-Web, Chris Webber, who's always thoughtful, always makes me think. You know, he is right there, too. Is that, you know, the college, 24-second shot clock, that NBA game is fast. And what it means is you got to make fast decisions. And you got a coach barking now. And you got the media and the refs and the fans. Those playoff games, you can watch young players. That's why Miami was so unique last year. Their young players were great. Young players melt.
Well, the bubble eliminated a lot of that stuff.
That's right. You had no fans.
So a lot of that stimulation that you're talking about was gone.
Gone. And so the young players last year flourished when the fans left. Now you're going to bring more fans in, and it's just a lot to ask a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old to just thrive in that. It's just not the way it works.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow, MLB is back on Fox, and this season's Topps Project 70 is teaming up with Baseball Night in America. It all starts tomorrow when the shoe surgeon will create a special sneaker from Mookie Betts before the Dodgers-Giants game. You can check it out tomorrow at 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app, and also check out this special new Mookie Betts baseball card they created, which just came out today.
Is that one of those NFT things?
You can check it out at Topps.com. Baseball is back on Fox.
That's not an NFT.
That's a real trading card.
Oh, that's a very confusing.
Which are also very expensive these days.
I mean, between Bitcoin and NFT, like right over my head. I mean, my whole life, I've been invested in the market since 89, dollar cost averaging, you know, with my paycheck.
Right.
And I've been buying a little real estate, and that's it. And now, all of a sudden, in the last year, everybody's like, nope, your money's got to be in something called Dogecoin and NFTs. And I'm like,
I've heard that the NFT market has kind of
cooled off.
Cooled off a little bit, yeah.
Well, do you understand what it is? Let's not bore the audience because I don't even know what it is. Trading cards?
I do not really generally throw money at things that I don't fully understand
yeah.
as a policy.
Yeah.
But If you can, if you know what you're doing.
I don't like any currency where one guy, Elon Musk, can rip it and it tanks.
Well, I mean, that's what the market is, isn't it?
Like, well, but if Warren Buffett came out and said, I don't like banks, I wouldn't sell my bank stocks. Elon Musk is like, it's no good. Cryptocurrency. All right, I'm boring, everybody. Enjoy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
From what I understand, the crypto world is not for the faint of heart.
Well, then
you really gotta ride that wave.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's a roller coaster.
You can't have any panic.
I mean, for me, I'm trying to get 8% a year and just retire to a nice home in the hills and golf occasionally and play with my dogs. That's it. I'm like a country western song.
So the NBA MVP finalists were announced yesterday. Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, and Nikola Jokic are the three players in the running for the award this year.
Where's Chris Paul? Chris Paul not there?
No Chris Paul this year.
Interesting.
Steph led the league in scoring with 32 points per game, also averaged 5.5 rebounds and 5.8 assists per game. Embiid, 28.5 points, 10.6 rebounds, 2.8 assists per game. And Jokic averaged 26.4 points, 10.8 rebounds, and 8.3 assists per game. A lot of people feel that Jokic is the leader at this point. And Chris Paul, 16 points, obviously a much lower stat line. Although, in both of our opinion, I think was an obvious contributor to the success of the Suns this year, who are second in the West. And the Coaches Association just gave their head coach of the year.
It's so funny about how people want to marginalize Chris Paul. Everybody's saying this. Well, I mean, he's helped. But they have a bunch of young players, and they were slowly getting better. Yeah, they went from lousy to second best record in the league. They didn't kind of get a little better. By the way, he got Oklahoma City, Chris Paul did, to a 4 seed last year. They won 2 of their last 25 games this year. Like, folks, it's not just what you do in life on the team you join or the company you join. What happens to the company you leave? I am so proud that my former time slot at the other place went down 60% when I left. Not that I've crushed here with joy. I'm so happy of that failing by them. That it's not just what you do when you arrive somewhere. When Jim Harbaugh left the 49ers, it wasn't just that he won games at Michigan, but the Niners went into the tank.
Yeah.
So you know Harbaugh can coach to some level because the place that he left went from Super Bowls to...
Well, the issue with the MVP is, as we know, it's mostly a narrative award. Not that the person who wins the MVP every year doesn't deserve it.
They're always good.
They're always good. They're always deserving. It's just a matter of the criteria for what and who should win changes every single year. Is it the best statistical season? Is it a historical season, like with Westbrook? Is it the best record? It's so confusing, and it changes every single year. Like, Jokic is obviously had an MVP season. He hasn't missed a game. He's unbelievable this season.
You could give him the MVP, and you could make hasn't missed a game a big component to it.
Yes, which is probably why he's going to win.
Yeah.
But you can't deny the contribution that Chris Paul has made to a team that has mostly been awful over the past decade. Like, it's they're second in the West, which is the better conference. Well, like, it's very significant.
It shows you that basketball is more than athleticism. Chris doesn't jump. He's not the quickest guy. He's a mid-range shooter. What it shows you is the value of talking, communicating, being demanding on teammates. I mean, Doc Rivers and I talked about this. Like, Chris is hard to coach. Like, he's a barker. He'll get after you. So it's like, it shows you that Chris is not going to get on the cover of all these magazines. Chris is intense, and he demands a lot from his teammates. And he doesn't want to be friends with all his teammates. He doesn't want to be friends with everybody. And that kind of guy turns people off. But we need more basketball players in America that don't want to be your ally. They don't want to be your buddy. They want to coach your they want to get after you if you don't play well.
That said, Steph is totally deserving as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the reason that they're there. So Knicks fans are showing they're ready to see their team in the playoffs for the first time in 8 years. The team announced that they are sold out for both Game 1 and Game 2 of their series against the Hawks. They were offering 15,000 seats at Madison Square Garden. That's
okay.
The largest capacity announced so far for the postseason.
In any NBA team?
Yes.
Wow, in New York City. Wow.
And 90% of the, almost 90% of the fans in the stands are going to be vaccinated.
Wow. And they know that because they've got their little...
Well, I think a lot of... don't quote me on this, but a lot of the facilities are asking you to bring your card or submit your card before you enter. Or you... I think Staples has... You have to either show a negative COVID test or show your vaccination card.
All right.
So they are able to keep track of it. By the way, businesses are allowed to do that for the, all of you anti-vaxxers out there. It's not illegal. I'm excited about it, though. It's going to be a factor. It's going to be a factor. Coming off of the bubble.
Atlanta's young. A young team. They're going on the road.
And they're Knicks fans who haven't seen the Knicks in the playoffs
Oh my God, Madison Square is intense.
It's going to be crazy. They're going to make it feel like it's every seat is
Ryan, sold. When's that game on? That's a make a sandwich and sit there for 2.5 hour game.
It's going to be fun. I'm really excited for Knicks fans and in the city of New York. We talk about it all the time, how important it is. Game one is Sunday at 4 p.m.
You know, people talk about New York, what a great baseball city it is, and I've pushed back on this. The Knicks have been embarrassing for 15, 20 years. You know, they don't lose their season ticket base. It's still sold out. The minute the Mets are bad, people don't show. When the Yankees are out of a playoff race, empty seats.
Well, that's why Hoopers always say that New York is the Mecca of basketball. Like, it's the Mecca. There is such a strong basketball fan base in that city. I mean, obviously, New York is a great sports city anyway, but basketball is strong. And the Knicks are a very, very expensive brand.
Look at the 80s Yankees attendance when they had Don Mattingly and Stunk. Yankee Stadium, there were seats. I mean, before it was owned by like Steinbrenner, and they started spending big money on Reggie Jackson and Catfish Hunter. There's nobody. New York's Yankees, there weren't sold out crowds. Like, the Knicks have been an embarrassment for 20 years. Can't get tickets. They've always had great attendance.
The brand is strong. So the Falcons are reportedly looking to trade Julio Jones to get some help with their salary cap this season. The Athletic listed some teams that could be potentially interested in going after them. One of them was the Titans, and Derrick Henry is all in for that move. He tweeted in response to the story, "Tighten the F up." So he is all for them getting Julio Jones in Tennessee. Jeff Schultz of The Athletic listed the Titans, the Ravens, the 49ers, the Patriots, Colts, and Chargers as teams that could be in the market for Julio.
Well, I mean, he's expensive, so it comes down to cap. I mean, I would imagine New England's not paying anything for a quarterback, so they could certainly afford him.
New England, I mean,
Baltimore's got...
It would be interesting to see him with the Chargers as well.
Well, again, the Chargers aren't paying Justin Herbert yet. Baltimore's not paying Lamar Jackson yet. I mean, Chargers have three more years of not paying Justin Herbert. And I'm trying to think who they pay. They pay Bosa a lot. They didn't pay Melvin Gordon. He left. No, the Chargers are probably a team that could go. And again, this is the thing about Julio Jones. Atlanta is in a rebuild. They need him to play a lot of games.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, if you're a good team, he's not going to go to Seattle. But let's say Baltimore. Baltimore's going to win 9-10 games because of Lamar and because of their coaching. If Baltimore needs him to be great late, you don't need him to be great in September, October.
Yeah, you don't have to wear him out. Like, he's obvious. He has
That's right.
extensive injury history. If you are already a good team and he can be an additional piece, and obviously Julio is still amazing, but he does have some limitations physically as far as staying healthy for the whole season. So don't rely on him for the entire season. Use him in big spots, and he will be crucial for you, especially in the postseason.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
SimpliSafe, award-winning security system. Highly trained security experts. When you need them most, go to simplisafecolin.com today. Customize your system. and get a free security camera. You know, I tell my kids, you know, be ready outside of college. Once you get past college, be ready. The best opportunity of your life could be available. It could just be happenstance. You run into somebody. Companies are always looking to hire younger people because they're cheaper and they can mold them and they can turn them into what they want to. So I tell my daughter, like, be ready after college. You can backpack in Amsterdam for 4 years and blow through it, but at that point you'll want some money and they don't want to pay it. Like, be ready to go after college. College is experiment time. College is make mistakes time. 22, 23 outside of college, be ready to go. And pro sports is unfair that way. Is that at least my daughter, there are people that aren't ready to go after college and succeed. That happens all the time in America. You don't find yourself until you're 43, 47. But pro sports is entirely unfair. Your peak athletically is probably 23 to 29. And then it's not the same. You get hurt more. Recovery and rehab takes longer. I mean, you watched LeBron the other night. He had no juice early on. Russell Westbrook is now 32. He's played over 1,000 games. He is not as relentless as he used to be. He admits some nights he just does not have juice like the other night. He admitted it. I just didn't have any juice. Last night he was very, very restrained. Only took 13 shots, only took 1 3, missed it, but nonetheless, lots of assists, played under control. And people always think, oh, you're very, very hard on Westbrook. But the good and the bad of getting older is I've seen everything, not once or twice, I've seen everything 10 times. Westbrook is Stevie Francis and Allen Iverson and Stephen Marbury and Derrick Rose. And it always ended poorly. For hyper-athletic point guards who aren't natural shooters, who tend to be shoot first, ask questions later, it always ends poorly. Stevie Francis, at the end, played in China. So did Iverson. Or was it Marbury? And Iverson was in Turkey. And Derrick Rose has been on 6 teams in 5 years, the Knicks twice. It always ends the exact same way. Westbrook now, the great players admire him, but don't want to play with him. And the two teams that were interested, Washington and the Knicks, losing teams the last 15 years. Listen, everybody admired Stevie Francis. They called him the franchise. He was unbelievable. Everybody loved Marbury. Allen Iverson was iconic and amazing. But when you come into the league in pro sports, it's entirely unfair. You got to be self-aware at 23. You got to get it fast. And so I've just seen the Westbrook story over and over. And the media and the fans fall in love because they're so athletic. Derrick Rose and Francis and Westbrook. But it's ending the same way. Russell's on a bad, bad roster. And only the Knicks and Washington wanted to. And everybody admired Marbury and never badmouthed D. Rose. But they don't necessarily want to play with him. And so when people say, oh, you are, you know, it's almost like the Hollywood party crowd, men or women, you know, the Pamela Lee crowd, the party crowd in Hollywood. Oh, they're on People magazine. It's the Lindsay Lohan crowd at 20s. And then by like mid-30s, they're burnt out. Nobody wants to work with them. They're kind of hacky. They're not on the magazines. They're desperate. They're B-listers. Like, it always ends the same for the Tom Hanks was never the party boy. You know what I mean? It's like Don Cheadle, Ed Norton, they're never really the party guy. They're just gifted. Meryl Streep never was. The Hollywood party set, it always ends the exact same way. Every single time. And the hyper-athletic point guard, shoot first, ask questions later, best friends the basketball, it always ends the same way. And Westbrook's ending the same way. The good teams don't want him. He doesn't quite have the relentlessness. By the way, he's played over 1,000 games. I mean, you can only jump that high and be that fast for so long. Everybody's human. You see it now with LeBron, he gets hurt more. All right. And by the way, they play the Sixers next, and that's not a great matchup for Washington. That is, Philadelphia can play defense. They've got a rim protector. Ben Simmons is as good as any guard in the league, so he'll make things difficult for Beal or Westbrook, so that's going to be a quick series. Now, I will say this. You know, in America, there's two things we bet a lot. We bet the NFL and college football. But there are people out there that like to bet the NBA. a lot of people are saying that Phoenix is an interesting bet against the Lakers because the Lakers are really one injury away from a brittle player AD and an older player LeBron from being in trouble. I think we all admit if LeBron went down, Phoenix probably wins the series. I mean, I'd certainly like him. And if AD goes sideways, you're asking LeBron now, quote, playing on one leg to carry a team. Wouldn't be great. You can't trust Schroeder. Andre Drummond, some matchups work, some games he doesn't. So a lot of people are saying the Phoenix is an interesting bet here because they're young. All the top four players for Phoenix, including Chris Paul, played all the games. I mean, Phoenix's top four players all played all the games, like 69, 70, 71, 72 games. Lakers did not. So Phoenix has good chemistry. They're young. Younger players don't get hurt as much. If they do, they're not hurt as long. But I think the playoff series to watch is Miami and Milwaukee. I can simultaneously think two things. I can think Milwaukee is going to win, and they got a terrible first-round draw. I can think that. I mean, LSU won the national championship in college football 2 years ago. Their schedule was brutal. By the end of it, I'm like, you know, you could look at that schedule and go, God, it's brutal. Oh, they're the best team. It's possible you can think two things. I think you should get vaccinated, but I don't think we should hold people down that don't want to be and vaccinate them. Just, you know, stay out of arenas and off airplanes. Like, I think you should be able to say no to the vaccination. I strongly encourage you should get it, but I can think two things. I don't think the government should hold you down in your living room and give you a vaccination if you don't want it. So this is a really interesting series. First of all, Jimmy Butler played one game, this is weird, all year long against the Nets, Sixers, and Bucks combined, and they won it. And when Jimmy Butler played this year, they were 33-19. So they're a good basketball team. In the last 2 years when Jimmy Butler has played, Miami is 85-45 in the regular season and 14-17 in the playoffs with a top coach. That's a championship-level team. He just didn't play much. It was really interesting. I'm not insinuating anything, but he seemed to miss a lot of games against the best teams. As if Miami was strategizing, we'll play him against Orlando, but we're not going to let the Nets see him because we're going to meet the Nets in the playoffs. We're not going to let Doc Rivers see him. And remember, the Nets are an all-new team. The Sixers have an all-new coach and a staff. And then Miami's got new pieces as well. So it's almost like Miami kind of strategized it. We're not going to play Jimmy Butler against the good teams. You're going to see him in the playoffs, which is not a terrible strategy. So, and Miami is also the Heat of the classic, struggled early. We stopped paying attention except Joy. People forget about him. And then you look up and they won their last seven games with Jimmy Butler playing. So Miami, you know, this is the way it goes. It happens in all sports. You struggle in September in the NFL, and then you look up and the team's, you know, like 9-3 and red hot. And Miami had a bunch of injuries. I think Butler got COVID protocol. So they didn't play well early, and we just stopped paying attention to them. Plus, we were all staring at the Nets. The Nets were on a hot streak, so everybody's looking at Brooklyn, and all of a sudden the Sixers with Doc Rivers has got Embiid and Simmons love each other, and we're all like, oh, yeah. Nobody paid attention to Miami. Now, seven straight Butler's played, 63-64% winner last 2 years when Butler plays. They've got playoff experience. They're healthy. They've got a big. They match up with Giannis. Now, they're young in certain spots, and Milwaukee's got sage veterans. P.J. Tucker, Drew Holiday. So I like Milwaukee in the series. But if you told me there were two series I like the underdog, I would bet a little on the Suns because they're younger, healthier, and the Lakers are an injury away from being a little bit of a mess. And Miami, simultaneously, I think the Bucks win it all. Miami's a good bet. They are. And another thing is Spoelstra's history is Miami. Spoelstra's very good at this. He's very good at his teams tend to play well late in the season. He and Pat Riley have been around a long time. They rest the right guys. Miami tends to, historically, they're really good about this time. And so I'm excited for it. M-Drive, check out mdriveformen.com today. Refind your prime with M-Drive free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Now, Joy, you watch a ton of Miami games. Your take on them this morning, today, now.
Well, I already put my money on them, so.
You already did?
Yeah. I think this is a very, very tough matchup for Giannis and the Bucks. And we played the soundbite from Giannis earlier. They asked him if he thinks it's going to be different this year. And he's like, I don't know. That's not necessarily a vote of confidence. Miami plays with a lot of rage. They were in the finals last year. It went six games. And everyone like kind of dismisses that because it was the bubble. But they're a real team.
Well,
and they're healthy.
You know what it tells you, that they played well in the bubble? What it really tells you is they're emotionally very strong too, not physically.
Well, it's a heat culture. Like, everyone kind of, you know, dismisses those sort of intangible things. But it's a real thing. It's the same thing that went on with the Spurs for years.
By the way, what culture melted down last year in the postseason? Clippers don't have a historically strong culture. What culture was shockingly good? Miami and all those kids. Historically great culture. So Milwaukee's culture is under-delivering.
Yeah.
Miami's culture is over-delivering. I can like two things. I like Milwaukee, but I think this is a 6-7 game series. Hour 3, Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, next.